one thing, that God is real, for I can see Him in my soul.
Hello, family. Welcome to another episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. My name is Matthew Curtis. I'm elated to deliver the message to you today. What God has given me, the continuation of these things we've been talking about, has been stirring in me for quite some time. And being able to get them out to you in these days and this time, what a privilege it is. But as always, I'd like to invite you to come with me on a journey through Scripture as we discover and uncover foundations of biblical scriptural truth. We're going to place one hand on the love of God, the other hand on the faith of God, faith towards God, faith in God, hallelujah, and we're going to learn how to apply these precious truths to our lives today in Christ. As I was preparing for today's episode, the Lord pointed out this scripture to me. In the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 3, and this is the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'd like you to pay attention to that phrase there, the power of God through faith, okay? Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I'd like you to also pay attention to this phrase, greatly rejoice, here in verse 6. So two things to pay attention to so far. The power of God through faith, and then here in verse 6, greatly rejoice. The power of God through faith, and greatly rejoice. Okay. Now, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. According to the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, what's more precious than gold? What is more precious than money? What's more precious than finances? The answer is the trial of your faith, or in other words, the product of the trial of your faith. The trying of your faith, what that produces, the Spirit of God is saying through Peter, that is more precious than gold, more precious than money, more precious than your finances. So if you want to look at it like this, how many hours do we spend per week working a natural job just to make money? Even if we don't work physical labor, some kind of labor and hours is traded for an income, for money, for pay. You might be your own business owner, but still, you're trading hours for money. Even if your money is working for you, you still had to contribute hours to get to that point where your money can work for you to a certain capacity. But it's not like you can just set it and forget it. You still have to come back, oversee it, make sure that it's producing, make sure that your investments are working out how they ought to work out. So it's not set and forget. You still have to trade your time, energy, effort, focus, even more finances to produce more finances. But the Spirit of God is exhorting us, telling us through this letter that Peter wrote that the trial of our faith, the trying of our faith, the King James says, the product of your faith being tried, that is more precious than gold. It's more valuable than gold. So if we spend X amount of time putting in the effort and the labor, the energy to work a natural job, which we should, and to receive an income from that work, how much more effort, energy, labor, so to speak, focus, attention, money even, should we put towards the product of our faith being tried? Now, that doesn't mean that you always have to be in a state of trial, as if to say you're being pressed in on every side, you're being tried by people, or you're being tried by circumstances. No, the fact of being a doer of the word every day on a day-to-day basis tries your faith. For example, just because your financial needs were met last month, it doesn't mean you don't have to believe God this month. You've got to believe God, or you should be believing God every month for your finances to be strong and for all the financial needs that you have to be met. If you have debts, you're believing God to pay off those debts, or you should be. If you've got a sickness in your body, a condition that you've been dealing with, you shouldn't just be letting it go. You shouldn't just be biding your time with it. You shouldn't just be learning how to live with the sickness. You should be getting in faith, doing the things that it takes to feed your spirit man, to build yourself up in the Word of God, releasing that faith that you've built up in your spirit, and then seeing it through all the way until you have what God has promised you. You see, it's these normal day-to-day things that try our faith. You don't have to go through a major trial in your life in order for your faith to be tried. You don't have to go through these low valley experiences like many people in the church world proclaim. They compare the mountaintop experience to the valley experience. Even growing up, I would hear people say, "I've just been in a valley for a long time." Well, if you feel like that you're in a valley, walk through it. Go through it. Don't just camp there and stay there. By the grace of God, pick yourself up, equip yourself with the full armor of God, and go through it. Praise the Lord. Don't build a house in the middle of your trial. Don't build a village in the middle of your circumstances. Go through it. Praise the Lord. Take the Lord's hand, take His word, and exercise your authority over your situations, over the things that are plaguing you or bothering you, and go through it all the way. You're promised victory today, not defeat. For the Lord has made you more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare give up when the promise of God is just on the other side. Praise the Lord. When God's will for you is good and only good, you don't have to be defeated. You don't have to stay there in a time of perpetual turmoil and perpetual irritation and perpetual sickness or debt or financial lack or your relationships suffering, your marriage suffering in some way, etc., etc. No, go through it. And if you will stir up your intention to obey the word of God, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and just go through, God will bring you through. Hallelujah. Even if you felt like Peter, drowning underneath the wind and the waves, saying, "Lord, save me, help me. Don't you know that Jesus is no respecter of persons? He'll lift you up and out of that storm situation, and He'll set your feet back on solid ground. He'll even walk the rest of the way with you back to the boat, back to safety. He will not leave you nor forsake you." So go all the way through, my brother and sister. Take the Lord's hand, like we said earlier. Take His word. Don't stop. Don't quit. Go through. Praise God. Now, all that was free and extra. That's not even the main scripture that I wanted to get to. But as I was reading through that, the Holy Spirit just stirred me up to exhort you today. I know that's got to be for somebody. So praise the Lord. If that's for you, you can just receive this encouragement and exhortation today. Praise the Lord. But in verse 8, this is a scripture that I wanted to get to that I was impressed to talk with you about. "Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Praise God. Does that minister to you today like it does me? Wow. Now remember those two things I wanted you to pay extra attention to. Number one, from verse 5, the power of God through faith. And then number two, in verse 6, greatly rejoice. You can see both of these elements in verse 8. Let's read it again. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're getting ready to pray over the word today and over the rest of what the Lord has given me to minister to you in this episode. But let's look at this foundational principle of faith towards God, that though we do not see, yet believing we rejoice. This accesses the power of God through faith for your situation. This accesses the miracle working, wonder working power of God by exercising your faith in this manner, that though you don't see it, though you have no evidence that it would come to pass in the natural, though all you have is a word of God under your feet, scripture that the Holy Spirit would minister to you, though in the natural it seems too simple or it seems very intermediary for faith, it is not. It is actually one of the first things that you learn as a Christian. Because when you confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you've never seen him with your natural eyes. You've never laid eyes on him in person, but yet you still believe. And the fact that you take it a step further and you make a confession of faith of what you believe in your heart, the Bible says that you are saved as a result of that. And a miracle takes place. And you are made a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things passing away and all things becoming new, simply by believing in your heart that something is true. A miracle takes place when you make that confession of faith. Praise the Lord. The power of God through faith is accessed. And when you remember this simple lesson and principle of faith, and you begin to apply it into every area of your life, every area where your faith is being tried, every area where your faith is being tested, and remember, it's more precious than gold. But every one of these areas, when your faith begins to be tried, believing, even though you haven't seen it yet, even though you don't see evidence that it'll come to pass, when you make a choice to believe based on the word of God, and you begin to rejoice with joy unspeakable, hallelujah, and full of glory, you access the power of God through faith. Oh, hallelujah. And before we even know what God is going to speak to us today through this episode, how many know that we can access the power of God for our lives, whatever we're needing, whatever we're believing for, by faith, if we'll rejoice over this word, even though we haven't seen it yet, even though we haven't heard it yet? There might be people who have needs, who have things they're believing for, and they're looking for encouragement today. If we'll rejoice by faith over this word, then don't you know we'll access the power of God today? Don't you know that God will come to you in your situations and he'll deliver you? He'll make a way for you. Hallelujah. He'll meet that financial need. He'll heal your body. Hallelujah. He'll save your soul. Praise the Lord. What will our God not do when we believe, even though we haven't seen, and begin to rejoice by faith? Praise God. Do you see this faith principle? Even though believing we don't see, we rejoice. It takes faith to rejoice before you see the victory. It takes faith to rejoice before you see the healing. It takes faith to rejoice before you see a provision. Hallelujah. And if you'll just do that right where you are with me, let's do it together. God can come into your situation and he can make a way. Praise God. So Father, we do. We praise you. We rejoice. Rejoice in your presence. We rejoice over your word, Father. We know you have amazing things for us today, and they're more precious to us than gold. They're more precious to us than food. They're more precious to us than our dreams in the natural being fulfilled, Father. Your word is everything to us, and we love it, and we crave it, Father. It means more to us than life itself, and we thank you for all the wonderful, precious truths and promises that you've given us. And again, Lord, we rejoice. And again, I say we rejoice. We ask you for answers to questions. We ask you for solutions to problems. Impart to the people today grace that would make them more free. Grace, Father, that would cause them to come up and come out of any problem, any situation. We ask you for connections in the Word. We ask you, Father, for the light and life by looking in the mirror of your Word. Cause us to see the reflection of Jesus, who he is, what he says, his ways, oh God, and his words coming to life from the pages, from the ministry of the Word today. We believe, we receive, and again, we rejoice. Hallelujah. And we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reminded of a scripture in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. If you've never read that psalm all the way through, I highly encourage you to do so. But when you do, you'll get to a verse, and King David exclaims this. He says, "I rejoice at your word as he who has found great spoil." Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I just tear up thinking about it, because the hunger of God for his word just gets stirred up in me when we start talking about this. How many know when you start rejoicing over the word of God, the preaching and teaching of it, the hearing of the word, the reading of the word, when you and I start rejoicing over it exactly as if we found this great treasure, this great buried treasure that's worth millions or billions, if we'll rejoice over the word just as much as that or more, preferably more, hallelujah, then don't you know that says something to God? Don't you know that pleases him and stirs him up? Oh my, we should be doing this on a regular basis, just all the time, rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Let's continue on in our title series, Foundational Truths for Life. We've talked about so many things in the previous 13 episodes. If you're joining us for the first time, I highly recommend starting from the first episode and catching up with us. There are a lot of scriptural references and background that's been given, a lot of points that have been made, a lot of foundation that's been laid. And so it's vitally important that you get all of that before you start moving forward. And so this is episode 14 today. Let's go to our text in scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 9. This is the King James Version. "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." And as we go, I like to remind our listeners of important elements so that we can be refreshed. That way the connections later on are made easier. Here in verse 10, Paul uses the Greek word architekton, which is where we get our word architect. And so if Paul received grace to be a master builder or an architect-like person, then where did he get the grace from? He got it from our Heavenly Father. So if Paul got the grace from God, then God has to be the architect over all. And we talked about how God created the universe, he created the earth, and all that's in the earth, he laid the foundation of the earth. And that's what Paul is getting ready to talk about here. The grace that God gave him to be an architect enabled him to lay the foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation of Jesus' words and teachings, the foundation of the gospel of Jesus. And we know and remember from our previous episodes that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that's laid first, in which all the other stones in the foundation are built around. Jesus, the cornerstone, dictates where everything else is laid. How everything else is built is determined by the laying of the cornerstone. And then the Spirit of God says through Paul, every man needs to take heed how he builds. And so the responsibility for the building in your life is up to you. God is not the one who builds your foundation, builds the structure of your life, builds everything that goes on into your life. God is not sovereign over how you build your life. If he was, then there'd be no reason reason for the Spirit of God to exhort us through Paul that it's our responsibility to take heed how we build. If God just built everything in your life and everything in your life was according to God's will, just automatic, without any part from you, then there'd be no reason to say this. We just need to rip this whole page out of the Bible because God is sovereign, and that just can't be true, and God be sovereign at the same time. He is sovereign because he is God Almighty from that aspect. His eternal will and plan will get done. But what happens in your life, the decisions that you make, he does not control those. You can make whatever decision that you want to make. If you want to eat Wheaties for breakfast, you can eat Wheaties for breakfast. If you want to marry a certain person, make them your spouse, you can do that. If you want to apply for a job at a certain place, you can do that. If you want to live in a certain town or city, you can do that. That's up to you. How well it goes, though, is dependent upon if you are following the will of God or if you're making your own choices in your life. And that right there is a big reason why things don't work out as well for us as we'd like them to, because instead of seeking the Lord for his will and choosing his will, we assume either that everything that happens is God's will and I'm somehow magically being controlled like a puppet. I don't know what's going on. I don't see what's going on. I can't control what's going on. Somehow it's all the mysterious will of God. Or you can believe that your choices are your own, and if they're have been mistakes that have been made, it's not because God made them through you. Praise the Lord. He creates planets. I'd like to think that God isn't responsible for my mistakes. Hallelujah. No, he's righteous in all of his ways. If there was a mistake made, it's because I didn't follow him like I could have, like I should have. And we've all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Thank God that there's mercy new every morning, and we can tap into his mercy. And how will we do it? Well, just like we prayed, the power of God through faith is accessed by rejoicing, even though we believe and we see not. Praise the Lord. So let's keep reading here, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So let's stop right here and discuss this for a second. If your and my work or building or structure survives, we'll receive a reward. I'm just putting it in simple terms. But what is it built upon? That's the key. That's the main point. It will survive if it's built upon the right foundation, or if it's built upon even a foundation. If you tried to build a structure, a house, a building of any sort, of any size, of any weight, of any architectural style, if you try and build that on a shaky foundation, on an incomplete foundation, on no foundation, then when that structure is tested, when the wind blows, if the earth shook, if the floods beat against the house, as the scriptures give as a metaphor in the Gospels, if your house, your structure is built on the right foundation, Jesus Christ, then your life, your building, your house, your structure will stand. But if it's not, then it's in danger of falling. And the scripture says, great was the fall thereof in that story from the Gospels. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can miss so many traps the enemy has laid for us just by following God's word, being a doer of his word, being led by the Holy Spirit. But if somehow we did find ourselves in a major trial, in a major circumstance, where we did feel like the winds were blowing, you see, where we did feel like the earth was shaking all around us, where we felt like the floods of the problems and circumstances, evil situations were flooding and beating against our home, our house of faith, our lives. If it's built upon the right foundation, then our lives will stand. We'll make it through. We'll come through, praise the Lord. And do you see how this even goes with the scripture that we use to pray? the trying of our faith being more precious than gold. But the thing is, the Bible assumes that we're building on the right foundation. And how many remember from all the previous episodes, who is the foundation? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus' teachings. That's Jesus' words. That's Jesus' ways, his actions, revealing our Heavenly Father to us. As an example, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, and that now all the law is fulfilled in keeping the love command, the commandment of love, loving God, loving people, loving yourself. Praise the Lord. So learning how to walk in love, learning how to love God, receiving God's love for you, learning how to love people, God's ways of love, God's actions in love, God's speaking words of love. All of this is foundational teaching. All of these are vastly important pieces and parts to your foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And if we don't have that, how can we say that we've properly laid and built our foundation? We must know what goes into the foundation. We know that it's Jesus, but Jesus encompasses so much. His words encompass so much. His ways revealing the Father to us encompasses so much. The gospel encompasses so much. And it's our responsibility, it's our privilege and honor to ensure that our foundation is being built with all the proper materials, with all the proper ingredients. That's why he was saying the Spirit of God through Paul in verse 12, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, if you're building on this foundation, there are different kinds of materials. Some will pass the fire test. You see, some will not pass the fire test. Some will be burned up. And that's what we're talking about here. We want to make sure that we're building our lives on the proper foundation so that when it comes time to build up, that this structure will pass the test of time, that it will glorify God, that it will be a testimony to others of the goodness of God, of the true gospel of Jesus, of God's actual will for his people in the earth and in the kingdom to come. But in the previous episode, specifically, we talked about how in order to properly build your foundation, because we're talking about how to build your foundation. In order to properly build it, no foundation has begun and is completed without having a revelation of who Jesus is, which leads to an encounter with Jesus. To say it a different way, no foundation begins and is completed without having an encounter with Jesus. And our revelation from the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ produces a wonderful experience, a wonderful encounter with Jesus when it's mixed with faith. Oh, you can't just read the Bible and just somehow out of your own intellect see Jesus and experience Jesus. Experience his love, experience his wonder-working power. We can't work up an encounter or experience with Jesus. We can't make it happen. It comes by grace through faith. And when we mix our faith with the Word of God, it produces a revelation of who Jesus is, which leads us to experience Jesus, especially in each area of our lives. Hallelujah. It leads us to an encounter with him in those same exact areas. You see, when you needed a Savior, you heard the word that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again for you, and he ascended on high, and how Jesus' sacrifice made a way for you to become saved and restored in your relationship with the Father. How Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition that was between us. How Jesus' sacrifice restored fellowship between us and the Father. And putting our faith in what Jesus did, it's accounted to us for righteousness. And by our faith, we're made a new creation. Now, the revelation of that word was given to us by the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, it absolutely leads to a change. It absolutely recreates by the power of God your spirit man, my spirit man, and makes us brand new beings in Christ. But your experience of that can be simple or it can be great. So many people, when they receive Jesus, they do it by faith. They do it according to the word. They have a revelation that they need Jesus as their Savior, and they go through the steps, they pray the prayer, they receive Jesus, and then they look up as if to say, now what? What's next? What do I do? But there's so much more to what just happened than most people realize. We talked about how growing up in my life, how I would see different kinds of people get saved. Some people would have a marvelous experience with Jesus. Some people were delivered of habits and of addictions. Some people would receive Jesus and then act as if nothing changed. They'd act as if nothing happened. They'd act as if their lives were not any different, even though in their spirit man, if they could have seen it, there was a miracle that took place. But they go on living their life exactly as if they never received Jesus. Oh, in their consciousness, they knew that they prayed the prayer. They confessed Jesus as Lord. But they never really laid hold of the revelation that came that produced Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of their life. It's so important as Christians that we don't just say things by rote, that we don't just do things by rote. If Jesus really is our Savior and our Lord, then when we have a revelation, a true revelation of Jesus being our Savior, of Jesus being our Lord, then we should be able to pinpoint circumstances and things that changed because they came under His Lordship. We should be able to tell a difference in our lives. We should be able to tell where we experienced His saving power, where we experienced His love, where we experienced His presence. And again, some people, more than others, experience these things. But I'm coming to you from a perspective that every Christian should experience Jesus in His power. Every Christian should experience Jesus and have an encounter with Jesus in His love, in the reality of His presence. And if we haven't, we haven't gone far enough yet. We need to keep going until our revelation of Him is laid hold of in full by our faith, and we have an overwhelming, life-changing, joyful, and full of glory experience by meeting the Lord Jesus, by encountering Him. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. I usually read my scriptures in the King James Version, but let's read it in the New King James here. Verse 13, let's begin. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, I'd like to draw your attention to this. Notice Jesus didn't say, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of God, am?" He didn't start this conversation with His disciples by going ahead and prefacing that He's the Son of God. He didn't give hints as to what He wanted to come out of this conversation. Jesus knows that people must see these things for themselves. And this is just a good training factor for us. It's not up to us most of the time to let people know what they need to know. We need to keep that to ourselves. If we've been given an open door, if people have asked us, okay, and they want our counsel or they want the wisdom that God has given us, they want to know what we have to say and they've given place to us, then we can go ahead and do that. But just because you have a revelation or I have a revelation of something, and just because we feel like people could benefit from it, it doesn't mean we ought to share it. A lot of these things, even if we said it, even if it was the truth, even if it was staring them in the face, unless people have a revelation of it themselves, they won't see it. And a lot of times, just because it's coming from you or coming from me, people don't want to hear from you or people don't want to hear from me. We're not everybody's cup of tea, and so they wouldn't hear it anyway. But when the Lord reveals it to them, which is what's about to happen, when God reveals it to you, praise the Lord, you see it without a shadow of a doubt. But Jesus is asking them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So we know He's the Son of Man. Well, so are you. You were born of a man and a woman. You were born naturally. And that's what Jesus is saying. "Who do men say that I am?" Very simply. And they said, verse 14, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Now get this. Hallelujah. This is what we're getting to. Verse 15. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, does it matter, my brother and sister, who we say that Jesus is? If it wasn't important, why would Jesus ask this question? We ought to pay special attention to Jesus' questions because every one of them deserves an answer. And there is revelation in each answer. And so if Jesus were to ask us today, "Who do you say that I am?" How does that apply to us today? And especially as Christians, we already know that He is the Christ. We already know that He is our Savior and Lord. What do we do with this for our lives practically today? Why does it matter what we say about Jesus? Why does it matter who we believe that Jesus is? I'm just going to go ahead and cut to the answer. I'm going to go straight to the truth here. It matters because whoever you don't confess Jesus as, whatever you don't say that Jesus is to you, He is not to you. He is not for you. Do you understand what I mean by that? Now, Jesus is for us, as in He's with you. He's not against you. I mean, what you don't confess Jesus to be for you, He can't be that for you. Why? Because you don't have a revelation of Him being that for you. As an example, if you don't have a revelation that Jesus is the Christ and that God sent Him to be the Savior of the world, if you don't have that revelation, how can you say that Jesus is your Lord? How can you say that you are saved? How can you say that Jesus has done anything for you to save you in your life? Unless you have a revelation that Jesus came to save, but not just save in general, you believe that He came to save you. How about this one? Jesus is a healer, all the scriptures declare. But if you do not believe and confess yourself that Jesus is your healer, how can Jesus be that for you? Jesus is a provider. But if you don't believe and confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, all these things that Jesus is, if you don't believe that this same Jesus is your provider, how can you experience the provision of God? How can you have faith that Jesus will provide for you? How can you have faith that your needs will be met, that your bills would be paid, that you can pay off every debt? If you don't know what the Word says, if you don't know what the gospel reveals, if you don't know God's will for your life, here and now on this earth as a provider, how can you receive from His provision? How can you receive from this provider? Even though He is this, He wants to be it. It's His will. He's trying to get it to come to pass in my and your life. But we must have a revelation of this so that we can experience His provision. Do you see where I'm going with this? What the Holy Spirit is saying to us today? For the building and laying of our foundation, we must have an experience, an encounter with the Lord Jesus in every area that the Word declares Jesus to be. And if we will, this contributes to the full completion, to the full finishing up of our foundation. How do you know if you're building your foundation correctly? Well, it takes getting into the Word. It takes encountering Jesus in all of the ways that the Father has revealed Himself through Jesus' person when He came. His life, His ministry, His words, His ways, hallelujah, the things Jesus did. All these things contribute to the laying and building of our foundation. We must live in this Word. We must be doers of this Word, but not just random things, not just things we're comfortable with, not just the parts and pieces of the gospel that we are fine with applying to our lives, things that we think is easy or things that we think make sense. No, every part of the Word that we see, oh, that's a promise. Oh, Jesus did that. Jesus said this. This is Jesus' ways. Then we must find how we can apply our faith to the Word of God and receive from this same Jesus who He was then and receive from Him for our lives today. So I'm saying to you now, my precious brother and my sister in Christ, who do you say that Jesus is? You must experience Him, Jesus, in the way that you require. If you want to have an encounter with Jesus as your Savior, more than what you've experienced in time past, and that's not just the Savior of your soul, Jesus can save your marriage. Jesus can save your finances. Jesus can save your job. Jesus can save your body from death. Jesus can save your body from sickness and from disease. Jesus can save any area that you submit to Him. But you've got to have a revelation from the Word and then mix your faith with it. You access the power of God by believing, hallelujah, before you see and rejoicing with joy unspeakable, and you'll encounter Jesus' power. You'll encounter and be overwhelmed with His love for you in that situation. And guess what? You'll have a testimony. You'll have an experience and experiences and encounters where Jesus saved you. He saved you from sickness here. He saved you from debt here. He saved you from that problem. He saved you from that marriage issue. He saved you from going down the wrong path here. Hallelujah. He saved you from the trap that the enemy set for you there. He saved you at every point and corner in your life. He saved you. He saved you. He saved you. Praise the Lord. But what we're seeing happening today is many people, if someone were to ask them, what testimony do you have of how Jesus saved you in your life? Well, they might be able to tell, firstly, of their limited experience when they confess Jesus as Lord. But how many can come up with testimony and more testimonies of when Jesus saved them? How many of us Christians really even recognize them when it happens? Even the small saves. You see what I'm saying? How many of us appreciate them so much that we remind ourselves how many times Jesus saved us, how He saved us from the vehicle accident in the car, or how He saved us, we could have gotten sick, but we didn't, or how He saved us from going down the wrong road in life. How He saved us from this situation because He spoke to us in a time of prayer by His Spirit, and He alerted us, He warned us, so we didn't go that way. We didn't make that decision. We didn't do that thing. Jesus, to be experienced as a Savior, we must have a revelation of Him from the Word in these areas. We must apply our faith to access His power. And when we do, and when we rejoice, we'll experience the power of God through faith. Praise the Lord. Do you see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us? This plays such a significant role in the building and in the laying of our foundation. What you say about Jesus is key. What you say about Jesus actually matters if you want to encounter Him and experience Him in any area of your life. Let me pray for you today. We're going to pray in faith, and I'm going to ask the Lord, according to the prayer in Ephesians 1, to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Whatever you need Him to be, whatever you want Him to be in your life, you can experience His healing power. You can experience His providing power. You can experience Him in all the areas that your heart longs for, that you're hungry for. If you want Him more, you can experience Him more. All you need is to see it in the Word and from the Word, from the preaching and teaching of your pastor, or from the preaching and teaching of other great anointed ministers, men and women of God who proclaim the Word of God. You can get a revelation of Jesus by spending time reading the Word, reading Mark and Matthew and John and Luke, reading Hebrews, reading Psalms. God can give you a revelation for your situation just by reading and giving attendance to the written Word. But when you mix faith with it, when you rejoice, woo, glory, that's when you access the power of God for any situation in your life. And it doesn't have to be a bad one. It can be something that's good. It can be a desire of your heart, something on your vision list, a goal for your business, a goal for your family and for your life. God will do it for you. Just mix your faith with His Word. Rejoice even though you don't see it. Make it a habit to do it outwardly, expressively, before your Heavenly Father, because He doesn't owe us a thing. We're doing this on the basis of grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for my precious family in Christ. Lord, I know and can testify of what You've done for me. I know and can testify of how You've saved me, of how You've healed me, of how You've provided for me, of how You've restored and redeemed me. I can testify just as well as so many under the sound of my voice about what You've done for us. But Lord, I also know, and You know, those who are longing to experience You in a greater way. I myself even, Lord, I'm not satisfied with what I've experienced and encountered of You so far. So all of us together, we say we're hungry for You. We're hungry to know You more. We're hungry to experience You and Your love and Your presence more. And so everyone under the sound of my voice, I ask You, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, who He is, His words, His will, His ways, His acts, Father. Cause their eyes to be enlightened, to see, to know what's the hope of Your calling. For these things they're hungry for these things they're believing for. I ask You for a deeper revelation in the Word of God for them, Father. I ask You for deeper, rich encounters of Your love. Overwhelm them with Your presence and with Your Spirit, Father. Cause the power of God, as they believe, to manifest in their lives. Help them, Lord, and stir them up to rejoice, even though they haven't seen the answer yet. To rejoice, even though they haven't seen the victory yet, Father. And cause them to know what's the inheritance, what are the exceeding riches that You provided from Your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank You for these things, Lord Jesus. We believe that we receive, and we rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. We rejoice because we know that You've heard our prayer, and it's in Jesus' name that we have it now. Amen. Praise the Lord. A great faith step and action to be a doer of the word that you've heard today is as soon as you've stopped this message, as soon as you have went on with your day, just begin rejoicing by faith over all the things that you're believing for. Begin rejoicing even though you may not feel like it. Rejoice even though it seems you've been believing for years or for a long time. Rejoice in the face of the adversity. Rejoice in the face of the circumstances and the problems and the issues. Begin declaring God's word over your lives and rejoice, and you'll see it come to pass in Jesus' name. We love you, partners, family, and friends. We pray for you always. We speak over you, and we lift you up before the face of God. And we speak over you today. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. The favor of God surround you as with a shield. And something good happen for you this week in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you in the next episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. Since that day, oh, that very hour, God has been real, far I can see. Hi, my name is Jason, and all of us at the Kingdom Inheritance Ministries family would like to thank you for tuning in. If you received from this message and you're inspired to give us your testimony, please send us an email at connect@kim.faith. That's connect@kim.faith. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 1513, Branson, Missouri 65615.